In Acts chapter 19 tonight, Acts chapter 19, we'll look at a few minutes. I'll try not to take up too much time on prayer time. Been talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. A lot of Baptists don't like to say Holy Ghost. We don't say it fast. We don't say it Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. We don't do that. You see the charismatics doing that, saying Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. You listen to Benny Hinn. But the Holy Ghost was, you say, in the New Testament more evident, and especially in a Christian's life. And it's important that we don't offend him. The Bible says you can grieve him, you can resist him. The Lord said, how long you all resist the Holy Ghost? When the Holy Ghost is dealing with you about things in your life, that's his job. He's to reprove the world of sin, righteous, and judgment. That's his job. And he'll do his job. The Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will do his job. Now, Brother Bilbo at one point taught that the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are two different things. I said, I didn't agree with that. I didn't believe that. Because you can't have four parts of the Trinity. They're the same. He said, there's a difference in the ghost and the spirit. I said, I realize that, but there's different administrations of the Holy Ghost, and that's what they do. And so, but I believe the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are the same. They're the same. They're God in the flesh, but it's, I mean, not God in the flesh, God in the spirit. And God, he's inside of us. Now, in Acts chapter 19, I want you to see this. And Acts chapter 19, there's a lot of people talk about, you know, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, and they fall out, and the Holy Ghost makes me speak in tongues, and the Holy Ghost makes me get slain in the spirit. They call it slain in the spirit. There's no such thing. Only time you find slain in the spirit when Acts chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira, God killed them. They were slain in the spirit. They were definitely slain in the spirit. But you got a lot of teaching that goes on, and then in this day and time where there's a lot of false teaching. I guess Autumn and Nathan went to the church Sunday, and they believe in speaking in tongues and you know, being slain in the spirit, that kind of thing. Is that right, Autumn? Is that right? So that's, you know, and just I'm praying that the family will come out of that, just come out of that mess. And because what happens is it confuses people. It's a confusion. God's not the author of confusion. Now, you say, do you believe the Holy Ghost can give somebody a language like in Acts chapter 2? And it was a miracle, sure enough, miracle. It was. And I believe God can give. We got missionaries. I asked some people that believe that one time they were standing in here. They believed they could lose their salvation and all that. And they believe in letting their tongue loose and let their tongue go and let the Holy Ghost take over, which never turns out good. And I asked them, I said, do you believe in the Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, they all heard them speaking their own language? And he said, yes, we believe that. And I said, well, then do you have missionaries? And he goes, yes. I said, why do they have to go to a language school? If it was same as Acts chapter 2, why do they have to go to language school now? And what happens is a missionary gets called, he goes, and now I believe God can give him that language sooner, or give him the ability to understand it quicker and pick it up like that. Like, you know, like Brother John Sarah, Sister Sherry's dad is over in Africa. He picked up the language. Him and his wife, they picked it up. God gave it to him. But they studied it. They studied it and went and dealt with the people. But it says, look at this. This is surprising to a lot of people. And it says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. And it says, and he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They didn't even know. They didn't hear anything. They didn't know. And then look what it says. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ. So John's baptism was a baptism unto repentance, to believe on the Messiah when he showed up. It wasn't to take away your sin. Brother Mike was teaching the other day. He said remission and forgiveness is two different things. Remission, something's in remission. That doesn't take away your sin. So in Acts 2, it says for the remission of sin, to back down. Back at what? Back down, because they rejected their Messiah. And the baptism, they understood baptism, you know, as a cleansing. So they had to wash before they went into the temple. And look at this. It says, and when they heard this, they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, not just in Jesus' name, but in the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, here it is. This is wild. See, the book of Acts is a transitional book. You're going from the law to grace. And what happens is when you go going through here, you'll find that they received the Holy Ghost in different ways. And Paul lays his hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Look at this. And Paul had laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So who was that? They're Jews. They were Jews. They spake with tongues. And every time you find this in the Bible, you find tongues showing up as to the for the Jews. You say, what about Acts chapter 10? Go to Acts chapter 10. Now, this is not what we're talking about, but I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. And people get that thing, they get that thing mixed up. And they get their Bible mixed up. Acts chapter 10. This is a Gentile, Cornelius. And it says, there was a certain man of Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band that is called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God and with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed God always. This guy was praying. He was helping out the Jews and praying and seeking God. And then the Bible says an angel shows up, verse 4, and he looked on him, and he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. I mean, man, you shook heaven. You've been shaking heaven every time you pray. I wish to God we could pray like that. He said we could if we got serious. Like my brother was talking about praying. When he was praying, he said, Lord, help us to be serious about our prayer life. You have not because you ask not. We don't get serious in our prayer life. We just say, Lord, bless me. God, help me. We don't really get serious about it. And Cornelius is praying, seeking God. Why? I mean, he was a centurion, too. It says, and then you know the story down through here. And then at the end of this thing, Peter goes with him because Peter, God shows him that the Gentiles are going to get in on this thing. He says, what I've cleansed, the Bible says he brought a sheet down. And then look at verse 11. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending onto him as it had been a great sheet knitted at the four corners and let down onto the earth, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts and of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. No, I'm a Jew. I ain't going to do that. He said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. After all this, when Peter gets a revelation, you'll find Peter eating ham sandwiches, and Paul rebukes him. A Jew won't eat pork. You go. We went to Israel. You know what? Over in Israel, they won't put a cheese on the cheeseburger. They won't put cheese on the cheeseburger. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not see the, how's that verse go about? A calf, a kid in his mother's milk. That's mama, the beef, milk, cheese. No cheese on the pizza, or no cheese on the hamburger, put it that way. They put cheese on the pizza. But look at here. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the voice spake on him the second time, what God have cleansed, thou common. The Lord's, and he did it, done it thrice, three times. And the vessel was received up again. Peter was trying to figure out what in the world God's trying to show him. What in the world is he showing me? And then go on down, and he goes to Cornelius, and he walks in, and Cornelius bows down to start worshiping him, and he said, don't worship me. Verse 23, then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Certain brethren, they're Jews. They went with him. These Jews went with him. And on the morrow, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. This guy was serious about soul winning. He got everybody he could to his house. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. And Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many of them that were come together. And he said unto them, you know now that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come on the one of another nation. Peter saying, you know, I'm here, but it's unlawful for me to be here. I'm not supposed to be here. But God chose him. And it says, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean, no matter red, yellow, black, or white. Makes no difference. He says, there came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for, and I asked therefore of what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayers is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he lodges in the house of one Simon Tanner by the seaside, who when he is come shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he hath feared, he that feareth him and worketh righteous is accepted with him. The word which God sent on the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and who went about doing good and healing. So somebody filled with the Holy Ghost is going to do good. Somebody filled with the Holy Ghost is going to do right. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you doing right? Are you living right? Talking right? Somebody filled with the Holy Ghost is going to do what's right. You ain't got to watch them. I got tired of being a policeman, running around trying to make sure everybody's going to do right. I got tired of that. I still once in a while do that. But you get tired of it. You get tired of, you know, do right, do right, do right. I shouldn't have to. You got the Holy Ghost just like I do. The Holy Ghost will tell you what's right. And he'll lead you if you want it. But man, I mean, there's nothing wrong with helping a brother or sister in Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. You're supposed to. That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible says, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And it says, restore such a one. And that's our job, is to help people get back to God. And if somebody starts wavering, help them get back. Don't kick them. Don't be mad. They're not sinning against you. They're sinning against the Lord. That's why when I first pastoring, man, I'd get mad at people. Man, I'd get mad. And said, them dirty dogs, I just want to shoot, either knock on the door and shoot them in the head. And you know, that's with the old flesh. But then, the Lord starts showing me, they're not yours. They're mine. They're not yours. They're mine. If they're going to do wrong, you pray for them. You know, the Lord will test you how you're going to handle people. He tests you, your motive. As a pastor, he was checking my motive. Did I want them in church to do right because it make me look good? Or that I could pastor more? I had to check my own motives. I had to check myself. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They're your children. And I want to help my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to see them succeed. I don't care who they are. I want to see them do good. I want to see them be blessed. And so, as a person starts growing, you start growing in the Lord, you start seeing things the way God sees it. You stop looking at yourself. What happens is you get stuck on stupid. You look at yourself all the time. You start looking at yourself. You start thinking, I deserve better than this. I shouldn't have to do this. I shouldn't have to go through this. I should, you know. Mike was telling me, him and Ruth rode through Wild Quail the other night. They rode through there, and they're looking at the houses, and they said, wow, this is nice. Let's go back to the motorhome and sleep in the motorhome. That's fine. We ain't got our mansion's not down here. It's up there. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. Like I said, if you're doing right, you know, what happens is the Bible tells you don't grieve him, don't quench him, don't resist him. when the Spirit of God's dealing with you, get it right and say, Lord, don't let me do that no more. We do that to our own kids, don't we? We tell the kids, don't you do that no more. If you do, I'm going to whoop you. You back talk to me one more time. We do that to our children. You think God don't do it to us? He will. The Holy Ghost is inside you. He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when you get to the point where you can keep shunning him, cutting him off, I don't want to hear it. Then he says, Lord, Father, I can't do nothing with him. I don't want that to happen to me. I know I've preached a lot of funerals. I know Brother Squeaky's preached some funerals of people that just rebelled against the Spirit of God. And you know what? It breaks my heart. Look here. I know it breaks God's heart more. Amen. He says, then Peter opened his mouth, verse 34, of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And going down to verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but on the witnesses chosen before God, of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him. And he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify. It is he that ordained God, was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him giveth all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. See, he's still dealing with the Jews there. And look here. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Now, one time they get baptized, they received the Holy Ghost. Here the Holy Ghost fell on these Gentiles, and look what happens. And they that are of the circumcision of the Jews that were there, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. They said, man, I wouldn't believe it unless I seen it. Here we are sitting in a Roman's house with Romans and Italians, and here the Holy Ghost fell on them. And look what happens. Just to prove those Jews that God was no respecter of persons, they of the circumcision who believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they heard him speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? They get the Holy Ghost without no water. No water at all. And you find another place where we were just reading back there, Paul laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Back in Acts chapter 2, they were all baptized and they got the Holy Ghost. So the Jews, there's a transition going on. It's a transition. Boom, boom. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19 is a transition. Then when you get up to Acts 28, you got the transitions done. When a man gets saved, he receives the Holy Ghost. Now, looking back to Acts chapter 19. Or actually, go to John 7. Go to John 7. Acts 19, those Jews said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. Here you are sitting here tonight. You're saved. And if you're saved, you got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. Everybody in this room that's saved got the Holy Ghost. He's inside. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost would come upon a man, then leave a man. It could come upon him and leave him. Samson was an Old Testament. Samson had the Holy Ghost. He had power, physical power, strongest man in the world. And he had such physical power, the Holy Ghost was upon him. And God told him, don't cut your hair because you got a Nazirite vow on you. He was a Nazirite from his mother's womb. He was dedicated to God. And the hair was a sign that he was dedicated to God and he had a Nazirite vow. And when his hair, Delilah, she got Samson to tell the truth about his power. And really, his power came from God. But he said, it's in my hair because I had a vow on me. Now, did Samson break a vow? Yes, he did. He broke it when he was messing with the women. He broke it when he was messing with, he killed a lion and then went back and ate honey out. He broke, but God let the power stay on him until the hair was finally cut. And then he lost his power, lost his eyes, and then he said, Lord God, let me die with the Philistines. Give me one more chance, one more chance. And he died with the Philistines. But now that's the Old Testament. There's men in the Bible that had the Holy Ghost. Saul, he had the Holy Ghost, and then he rebelled against God. He didn't. Samuel says, he said, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And he said, God took the spirit off of him, put it on David. So in Psalm 51, when David sinned with Bathsheba, he said, and he writes Psalm 51, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now you're sitting here tonight, you cannot lose the Holy Ghost. He's in you. He's permanent. Amen. Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, you're sealed to the day of redemption. I mean, you got a seal on you. And you're permanent. The Holy Ghost is inside you. And that's what, when the operation took place, when you got saved, the Bible talks about the circumcision made without hands. When that took place, God cut the soul loose from the flesh. That's why you can't sin. Your soul can't sin. That's why you're eternally secure. In the Old Testament, nobody was eternally secure. Nobody. Nobody had a guarantee of going to heaven. They weren't eternally secure. But then you said, did people go? Yeah. They held on, did right. Now, you said this, the big debate was, did Saul go to hell? He lost the Holy Ghost. Said, did, you know, David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. There's some question about, you could argue day to doomsday about whether Saul went to heaven or hell. Now, you said, did he go to paradise? He said, Samuel came up and said, today you're going to be with me. Now, could be he went on to paradise. Or it could be where the Bible says hell was a great gulf fixed between hell and paradise. He's talking about dying. So look in John 11, or John 7, good John 7. This thing, see, that's why I'm saying tonight, you ought to thank God that you're in the New Testament, and you're saved, and you're sealed. You're saved and sealed to the day of redemption. That's why the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but you can't live in sin and stay happy. You'll be miserable. You'll have to take pills. You'll have to do drugs. You have to do something to try to make yourself happy because you got the Holy Ghost inside you. Because when you grieve him, you're grieved. You'll quench him, the Bible says. You can quench him or you can resist him, but he's in there. And your life will be miserable. You know what I've found? I found a lot of churches all over this country, they're miserable Christians living a miserable life. Because they just want to do what they want to do, and they got the Holy Ghost of God inside of them, and they're just miserable as they can be. And they're not happy. There's no joy. And the Bible says if a man's filled with the Holy Ghost, he's got what? Joy, peace, love, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. I mean, you got those things. And when you're walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, if you're walking in the Spirit, you got some joy in your life. You can wake up with a song on your heart in the morning. You can walk around whistling, thanking God you're saved. Thinking about the Lord, thinking about the Lord coming back. Instead of just thinking about yourself all the time. You know, we spend, wouldn't it be terrible to get to heaven, find out you spent hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours just thinking about what you want, what you're going to do, and about yourself, and never considered a lost and dying world. Never considered trying to win a soul to Christ. Never prayed, Lord, give me a soul. I don't want to go home empty. Doc used to say, sheep ought to produce sheep. And you know what happens? A lot of times goats produce goats. And you get people that just fight against the Lord. And it's all over the country. Look in John chapter 7. Look at verse 37. In the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There you go. Man. Saved, happy, going to heaven. You know, it should be just a habit. When you talk to people, it should be God should be involved. The Lord, rather than a cuss word. I know when I right after I got saved, I'll never forget, I went to a party after I got saved. And somebody used God's name in vain. I slapped them upside the head. And I'm a kid now. I didn't know better. I just thought, hey, don't use his name. It came out of my mouth first time, and I went, oh, God, I just, forgive me, Lord. So I went into the party, and I went in there, and somebody started, and I started telling them, hey, I got saved. They said, shut up, man, get out of here, man, cut the lights out. I turned all the lights on. Something about it. I guess men love darkness. I like the darkness too. But after I got saved, I wanted to be around light. I just wanted to be around light. And something took place inside. And it should be. Should be some joy in there. I realize we go through troubles and trials in this life. But still, there should be a joy down inside. In the midst of your trial. In the midst of your heartache. Should be some joy. If you got the Holy Ghost, should be some peace. God giveth peace. And man, he should be love for people. This guy was telling me about his dad yesterday. I was sitting in his office. He's telling me about his daddy. Telling me about, you know, the preacher, a friend of his. He was telling me all this stuff, you know. And told me his son. He showed me a picture of his son. And he's a cop in Newcastle. And we're just talking about, I said, is he saved? He goes, yes, sir, he is. I said, well, praise the Lord. We're just talking about the Lord, just enjoying it. In fellowship, man, talking to him after talking about 5 minutes, felt like I'd known him all my life. It's just something about when God's people talk to each other, and they both trying to do right. It's just something that you feel like you've known them all your life. They're in the family. They're in the family, and so you know I'm not against people that are you know that if somebody I try to show people if they got a new Bible. And if they believe in speaking in tongues and all this, I try to show them if they ask me, but I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not going to sit around. Brother Ken came here for their wedding. I've known that guy for years. He came here, and he's a good guy. He's a good man. I like him. And we took fellowship here and there, but there's so far I can go with the fellowship. But we talked about the Lord, and we talked about, you know, things. But it seemed like I've known him for years. It seemed like we've just known each other for a good while. He's a good man. He's just mixed up on his doctrine. And if he asked me, I'd show him. But I'm not going to argue with him. I'm not going to sit around and try to. I used to do that. I used to go around and try to straighten everybody out. But you don't do that. They'll argue with you. But look what the Bible says. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. The Holy Ghost, you get that? The Holy Ghost wasn't yet given. And here we are, 2019. You're saved. You got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. That's the greatest gift God's given us. The Holy Ghost inside you. And he seals you. Say, when the rapture takes place, guess who's going to take you out of it? He's going to change your vile body and fashion like on his glorious body. Man, we're going to go out of here. He said, can the Holy Ghost be in you? Yeah, he can be in everybody that's saved. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So Jesus said when he left this planet, he said in Acts chapter 1, he said, I'm going to send you a comforter. And the Holy Ghost should be our comforter. People try to find comfort in other people, which that's fine. A brother can encourage one another. A sister can encourage each other. They should be able to find some comfort in that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to the rubber meets the road, we ought to be able to fall back and say, Lord, you're the Holy Ghost of God inside me. You've given me as a gift. That's my comforter. When you're by yourself, nobody else around, nobody understands your pain. Nobody understands your hurt. Nobody understands those things. So when you run into another Christian, you say, why do I go through what I go through? God's going to use you if you'll let him. There's other Christians that might be weaker in the faith that you can say, hey, I've been there, brother. I know what you're going through. Here's what got me through. I got in this book, and the Holy Ghost started teaching me, showing me, and it helped me get you through life. Because there's a lot of people who think about suicide. They'll think about doing something stupid. That's not the way out. That's a selfish way. That's just thinking about yourself. Think about yourself. What about me? It's all not about you. It's about him. The Holy Ghost. Thank God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. All right, we're going to stop right there. Brother Ken, come on, take a prayer request, brother.